What if I told you the cure for, like, decades of systemic social segregation wasn't a new law, but a local government's tarmac and concrete budget?
I mean, it sounds totally counterintuitive, right?
It really does. But today we are diving into the 2020-2023 Annual Performance Plan for the Western Cates Department of Transport and Public Works.
Which I know sounds like a super dry stack of spreadsheets.
Yeah, exactly. But our mission today is to uncover how this provincial department is actually attempting to socially and physically redesign a post-COVID society.
Right, because they are treating infrastructure as, you know, active social interventions, not just physical objects.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because their entire strategy hinges on this massive transformative purpose, and they literally call it hashtag JUST dignity.
Yeah. The dignity aspect is deeply rooted in South Africa's history because, well, under apartheid, city planning was literally weaponized.
Wow, weaponized how?
So they intentionally built physical barriers like highways, railways, industrial zones, just to keep communities apart. It basically pushed marginalized people to the extreme outskirts of the city.
Way far from any economic hubs.
Exactly. Far from jobs, far from resources.
So it's kind of like they're dealing with bad legacy code in a computer program, right? The city was built as a fortress to divide people.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. And now, projects like the Conradie Park Better Living Model, they're essentially the physical software patches meant to fix those bugs.
Wait, Conradie Park, what is that?
It's this attempt to force integration. They're combining affordable housing, commercial spaces, and even private schools onto a single centrally located piece of state-owned land.
Oh, wow. So bringing the opportunities directly to the residents.
Right, rather than making them commute for hours, the architecture itself is the crowbar they're using to rebuild equity.
Okay, so that fixes the living space. But I mean, dignity isn't just about where you live, it's about how you move.
Oh, absolutely.
If people outside those integrated parks still have to spend 3 hours and a huge chunk of their paycheck just to get to work, you haven't really solved anything.
And what's fascinating here is the transit reality is just chaotic. The provincial government is fighting a war on two very different fronts.
Okay, how so?
Well, first, they're dealing with the National Passenger Railway System, which, under the management of PRASA, the National Rail Agency, has just completely collapsed.
Yeah, the document mentions like ghost trains, stripped copper cables, totally destroyed stations.
Right. It's a ruined system. But at the same time, they're trying to resuscitate that. They are striking deals directly with the minibus taxi industry.
Right, the Blue Dot Taxi program. I saw that in the source image.
Yeah. So the minibus taxis move the vast majority of the population, but it's an informal, highly powerful, you know, often heavily contested industry.
So how do you even regulate that?
Well, instead of just fighting the taxi bosses, the Blue Dot program actually pays them. They offer financial incentives to meet safety, service, and tracking standards.
Wait, really? So they're essentially paying a rogue network to act like an organized, regulated fleet.
Basically, yeah. By partnering with the taxi leadership, the government is bridging the gap between their ideal rail network and the functional reality on the streets.
They're financially empowering the drivers while upgrading commute safety. That's clever.
It is.
But, okay, I'm looking at the scale of all this. Building integrated microcities, reviving a dead train network, paying off taxi networks.
It's a lot.
It sounds totally disconnected from reality. So what does this all mean when they can barely control their own supply chains?
Yeah, that's the big catch.
The document lists massive compounding risks. The UN's climate code red, infrastructure vandalism, and material shortages from, like, the Russia-Ukraine conflict.
Right, and the accounting officer explicitly flags those exact vulnerabilities. Every steel beam and barrel of asphalt costs way more and takes longer to arrive due to global inflation.
Add to that, the Premier of the Western Cape is actively dismantling the very department tasked with this mission.
Yeah, that's the bureaucratic earthquake.
They are splitting the department up, merging parts of it with human settlements, and creating a brand new mobility department. I mean, how do you manage a societal overhaul when your own staff are facing that much structural uncertainty?
It's incredibly risky. Restructuring threatens the agility they desperately need. It just shows that even the grandest vision of hashtag JC dignity is tethered to harsh, you know, supply chain and bureaucratic realities.
If the internal mechanics fail, the whole vision just stalls out.
Exactly.
And I think all of this really brings into focus why these seemingly boring bureaucratic documents actually matter to you, the listener.
Oh, totally. The line items on a provincial government budget literally dictate the reality of your daily commute.
Right, your neighborhood safety, how close you are to economic opportunity. Mm-hmm. These spreadsheets are basically the invisible scaffolding of your daily life.
The decisions made in those planning rooms physically shape the world you walk through every single day.
Exactly. So we'll leave you with this. If infrastructure is destiny, what does the physical layout and transport system of your own city reveal about its hidden history and its true priorities?